Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book, December the 2nd. We're recording at 8:49 p.m. We'll probably go on the radio tonight. And I thought I would open up with a song, and I'm dedicating this to all the beautiful women out there. And at the same time, I'm dedicating it to somebody who is always being pushed around and ridiculed. And that's Jesus Christ. So, beautiful women and Jesus Christ, they go together.
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the
song by a group called the Del Vikings. Isn't that a beautiful song? Isn't that a beautiful thought? Love is in the air. Love is sweet and beautiful. And look what we got today. What do we have today? A 50% divorce rate of all the dogs who have papers. And not that doesn't count all the hookups that just took the toothbrush and left. How bad off are we? When one life is not important, all life is not important. So when you kill a kid, there's a good chance that someday somebody's going to kill a wife too. And you see what's going on in the media this week. Wives are turning up missing all over the place. We're in trouble. We're a nation divided into... We're fragmented. During the Civil War, there were two sides, the North and the South. And after the Civil War, the country came together. And the country was together the strongest during World War II. And look at us now. I watched a documentary last night, and it was put together very nicely, but there was a little bit of a propagandist bent to it. And it was about American citizens being coming into the country the right way. A million a year come in, according to the documentary. And they went to every state and showed how the people came in and how they were sworn in, and they showed the mix of the people that were there. Some were from Slovenia, Albania, Nigeria, Morocco, Iran, China, Korea, and you name it, that they were coming. They were coming here, Caribbean islands, and as they were being sworn in, the interviewer was asking them. So, in order to be sworn in, they've been here for a while. They've got their citizenship. They were getting their citizenship papers. And the interviewer asked them, what do you think about America? And they all said, it's great. You can, it's a free country. You can do what you want. You can be what you want. And one guy said, yeah, he had 2 degrees. He came here from Nigeria. He had 2 degrees. And he came here broke. And I just wondered how he got 2 degrees coming here broke. Did he work for it and pay for it? And is there an American here that can't get 2 degrees because he's broke also? I don't know. I don't know. I think somebody in the immigration department has their only goal is to splinter the United States. But these people that they interviewed were that the women all had tears in their eyes when they did the Pledge of Allegiance. And I have a relative that goes to a high school, and he's the only one that's a New York City high school, and he's the only one that stands for the Pledge of Allegiance. How's that? It's optional. Freedom is not optional. And you watch the History Channel, and you see the cut of the jib, as Dennis Miller says, of the crew that fought and died so that these immigrants could come here. And in my mind, a speech from Patton is playing in my mind, and Patton is saying, the rest of the world better learn to take care of itself, because if we take care of the rest of the world, we will surely go broke. And he was right about that. And this week, the stock market is up 500 points because we're bailing out Greece, Italy, and Spain, and so that they can retire when they reach 50. Oh man, are we in trouble? We're so divided. It's unbelievable. The melting pot is not melting. But the one thing that all immigrants said, when asked, what do you think of America? They said the Americans complain too much. In other words, we're whiners. And I remember my wife working with a Russian woman. When she first came here, she went into a supermarket for the first time, and she broke down and she cried. And when you see people coming in here, and they're more American than the Occupy Wall Street communists. I call them Grey Poupon communists because they're all living off their parents. It's really sad. And the only thing we have to do, the national pastime is drugs. You got 50,000 dead Mexicans. You have an attorney general of the United States running guns into Mexico to arm the drug lords so they can overthrow the government of Mexico. And you've got Janet Napolitano saying tonight that America better wake up because we're wide open. And she's the Homeland Security chief. The woman is not fit to work in a bowling alley taking in shoes. This woman should be removed from office very quick. And we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We are divided beyond imagination. We couldn't come together in lockstep to do anything. And we're all living off the laurels of those who gave us a golden opportunity. Those who gave us our American heritage and the legacy. And as I looked at these foreigners that were becoming citizens, and some of them had their children with them, and the kids were already American, so that generation, that culture that came from overseas, in 2 generations will be completely eroded. And some of the good will die, and some of the bad will be inherited from the culture they are now adopting. And if you want to see what our culture is like, just turn on the television. You got three networks that are attacking Herman Cain. And they won't let up. They're relentless in their pursuit of Herman Cain. The guy can't even have a love affair on the side. You know, but President Pinocchio Pants, I mean, he was doing it behind the Christmas tree. Unbelievable. What a culture. John Edwards, his wife was dying of cancer, and he was taking campaign money and paying off a mistress. At least Herman Cain's women that are coming to him, they're all broke. This sugar daddy don't pay. Oh, God. And I'm for Herman Cain, and I hope that God gives him a Jericho. I really do. I hope he just sticks around to remind the others that he's as good as they are. Yeah. But they really went after Herman. The word must have went out. I mean, the second woman that came out, the first woman didn't say anything. She just came out, she did a little peep, and she was gone. And it turned out that she had a sexual harassment lawsuit on her next job. And I don't know how guys work with women today. I'm watching Fox, and the women are all beautiful, and how the guys must have to be very careful, you know? Except Imus, who's a slob. Yeah, God help the women that go on with Don Imus. He's like Howard Stern with a cowboy hat. But getting back to how divided we are, it is really sad. And Mike Savage, he's got three main points he always harps on, and it's borders, language, and culture. And we do have to close the borders, and we have to speak one language. I know German immigrants, Italian immigrants. I can't say Irish immigrants because Gaelic was eroded by the British. But the German immigrants and the Italian immigrants, in their families, many of their parents would not allow them to speak German or Italian. They had to learn English because that was the language of making money and surviving in the United States. It is really sad. And in my book, The Spirit of America Party, I have a chapter devoted to immigrants. And I say, if you look at the kids that are coming out of college, and what a waste of money. What a waste of money. And they just had a list of the 10 most disliked colleges. And you know which ones they were? They were all technical colleges. So you can imagine the 10 top colleges, they were all party colleges. How can you take a second mortgage on your house and send your daughter to a $40,000 a year college, and then she's taking business, and you see her down in New Orleans on spring break working for beads? How can you justify that? I had an old Italian immigrant into my I wouldn't say old Italian, a father of high school kids. Immigrant, he came into my store, and he said he sent his daughter to a public high school, and she came home, and he says, "Where's your homework?" She says, "We do it in school." And he said, "Oh, okay." The next day, she was in a Catholic high school. And I've had guys come in and tell me, "I'm almost broke. I'm just making ends meet. But I'm paying for my kids to go to parochial school because I don't want them turning out to be communist zombies." And that's what's going on in schools today. Brainwashing is going on. Brainwashing on television. Every day you're getting brainwashed, whether you know it or not. How many people self-correct their thoughts as they walk around and talk because they can't say this and they can't say that, or they might offend this and they might offend that? And before you know it, you've been muzzled. You might as well be a dog. But being that this is now Christmas time, which the atheists hate, they go bird poop. And what they try and do is snuff out a Christ at Christmas time. So I think my Christmas card that I send out this year is going to say, Mary Christmas. And I'll have a picture of Mary, and I'll have a picture of Christ, and the word Mass. And there are people who are trained Christians not to say Merry Christmas in business. Oh, you can't say it because you might offend the devil. Or a devil worshiper. And so just give them the old Happy Holidays. You know what Happy Holidays is to a Christian? That's an F-U. You know what Season's Greetings is to a Christian? That's up yours. Yeah. Happy Holidays. It's supposed to be Happy Holy Days. And Season's Greetings, which season are you talking about? A deer season? Trout season? Mating season? You know what I say to those people when they wish me a happy holiday? I say Hosanna in the highest. That gets them every time. Let me give you a tune. And I'm looking for a beautiful French song called Noël. If I find it, that'll kick off our Christmas Spirit show. It's hard to find, though. Hang in there. I found it. I'm going to blow your socks off. Get ready to hear the best Christmas carol you ever heard in your whole life. Get excited, because here it comes.
L'amour uni se qu'enchaîne. notre reconnaissance, c'est pour nous tous qu'il naît, qu'il souffre et meurt. Peuple debout, chante ta délivrance, Noël, Noël, chantons le rédempteur.
Did that get you? Did that rock you? Okay, put your socks back on. That's a good way to kick off the beginning of Christmas. It's going to come and go real fast. Before you know it, everybody will be wearing the party hats. It'll be New Year's. And then and then comes the cold, ugly months of January and February. And then in March, a bagpipe sounds in the distance. And it's time to order potatoes to go. I went to an Irish restaurant the other night in the city with my wife and daughter, and it's placed down around 15th Street on 10th Avenue, I think, and it's called Moran's, and they have they have the best potatoes you ever had in your life. When we sat down and we opened the menu up, they said, you know what, let's each get three potatoes to go. Okay, so what were we talking about? We're talking about Christmas. And you know what's sad to me about Christmas? I grew up in New York City. As a matter of fact, I worked for a Southern outfit. And at a trade show, I was introduced as a boy who grew up in the alleyways of New York City. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Those alleyways to me were paradise. Why? Because we were all the same. We were poor, but we didn't know we were poor. We were rich. We thought we were rich. The only time we ever found out we were poor is when it snowed and the rich kids used to come out with their sleds, with their American flyers, made in the USA. And we used to come out with linoleum. But in the summertime, we could still linoleum. And they couldn't use their sleds. But anyway. So what was I saying? We were talking about... Oh, yeah. So growing up in the city, in the big city. I grew up in Washington Heights. It was all Irish. The entire subway system was run by the Irish. When you got on the 7th Avenue or 8th Avenue subway, the guy over the loudspeaker, you couldn't understand a word he said. And he'd say, the next stop, 185th Street. Next stop, 192nd. And today you get on the subway and you can't understand it. It's a different brogue, but you still can't understand what the guy says. But anyway, it was all Irish. And this is no exaggeration. There were three bars on every block. You could go, you could walk from 181st Street to 191st Street, 10 blocks. If you stopped in everyone for a drink, you'd be drunk by the time you hit the top of the hill. Even Dave Witkin's Kosher Delicatessen had all Irish guys at the bar. But anyway, those were good days. Those were good times. You know why they were good days and good times? Because the generation that just won World War II had just come home. And they were starting their lives and their families. And that's why they were good times. I'm listening, I'm watching on Fox today, Ben Stein. And he's saying, now Ben Stein is a financial expert. He's done very well. He said he used to do a lot of writing for screenplays in Hollywood, but he didn't get too much because they knew he was a conservative Republican, so they wouldn't give him any. As a matter of fact, he was paid to take his name off of certain scripts because the actors would not have anything to do with anything he submitted. So he used to get paid in the dark. How's that? And Hollywood always tells you that Joe McCarthy is a bad guy. Joe McCarthy had them all pegged a long time ago. Yeah, and the Verona papers proved them right. Anyway, so Ben Stein is saying that he lived during a real great period, and he doesn't believe that his children will enjoy this country like he did, that they're not gonna be able to afford to enjoy what he afforded to enjoy. So I've heard that a lot, and I'm sure you've heard it a lot, and you hear it. I remember my father-in-law saying he was glad he lived when he lived. That's when beer was a nickel, and you got a free sandwich. You think about that. You have no idea. You have no idea what this government is doing to you. Go knock on the door of your senator and tell him that you just turned 65 and you want your Social Security in a lump sum. See how many lumps you get. Yeah. It's going to tell you it's not there anymore. So what'd you do with it? I gave it to you. I trusted you. Well, why don't you go see John Corzine or what's the other guy's name that really that got everybody, did the Ponzi scheme, Bernie Madoff. Yeah, go see them. They got your money. Why aren't you in jail, Senator? My son says that every politician should only serve four years in office and then 4 years in prison. I thought that's a stroke of genius. Oh, he's a chip off the old block. Okay, so what were we talking about? Let me give you a tune, and then I'll gather my thoughts. Oh, before the tune, it just came back to me. So growing up in Washington Heights, New York, when you sat in the classroom, it took the teacher to call the names. It took her at least 10 minutes to get through all the O's. O'Connell, O'Donnell, O'Rourke. And the M's were, and the M's and the MC's, that was another 10 minutes. But they were good times, and they were good people. And you know what was good about it? The church was good. The church was packed. The church was standing room only, out to the back doors. They had a 9 o'clock children's mass in the lower part of St. Elizabeth's Church, and they had a regular mass. I was a choir boy. And I got out of doing the 9 o'clock children's mass because I had to sing at the 11 o'clock mass. So I got got special privileges. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And the place, the school was full of nuns, and the church was full of priests. And today, what do we have? Today we have a sad state of affairs. We may go down to 12 apostles and have to start all over again. The communists have infiltrated the Catholic Church, I'm told, in Latin America. In order, it's easier to bring down an enemy from the inside walls than the outside walls. And that's what goes on. And there are people who hate us as Americans, and they're Americans too. And that is real sad. But going back to the days of Catholicism in New York City, and a great Irish culture. And I'm always reminded, when you see these big, fancy, beautiful cathedrals and basilicas, they were all made by a poor man's hands, one brick at a time. And never forget that. So when the lawyers come down from the ACLU and they start to check the patent numbers on the chalices and the registration numbers on the artwork, that for the next pedophile priest, a lawsuit settlement, remember that church was built by poor people. Those magnificent cathedrals were built by poor people. You think about that. So, at that time, Macy's and Christmas were synonymous. And everybody did their Christmas shopping at Macy's. And the Merry Christmas signs were all over. Now, you go to Macy's, all they have is a red star. And you get the happy holidays. Happy holidays! Now, Macy's betrayed the people that built it. That's what I say. They spit on our ancestors' graves. And they've eliminated God. But Macy's is not the only one. There's one worse, I believe, and that's Target. I remember last year learning that Target would not allow the Salvation Army to have their kettles on their property. And this year, I got a bulletin from a veteran, a Vietnam vet, who had gone to the local Target store to get a donation for his group, a small donation, a token donation. And he was told they don't give money to vets. So he couldn't believe it, and he wrote the headquarters of Target. And they came back and said they do not give money to veterans' causes. They only give money to gay and lesbian causes. Now, this is according to him, and you'd have to check it out and verify it. And not only that, but if an employee, according to this gentleman that sent out this letter, if an employee has to take a leave of absence, to go overseas and if he's in the National Guard or he's in the military, his medical benefits are no longer provided. So if that's true, then Target is a real, and it's a French company, it's a French-owned company. And if anybody should be taking care of veterans, it's the Frogs. Because otherwise they'd all be speaking German yet. And I think they're still mad about 1945 when the GIs came to take their girls away from the Germans. As a matter of fact, there's a joke about a story about an American that went to Paris and as he's going through customs, they asked him for his passport, and he said, "I don't need a passport to come here." And the French gendarme said, "Monsieur, everybody who comes to France needs a passport." He goes, "Gee, that's funny. The last time I was here, there were no Frenchmen to ask me for my passport. As a matter of fact, most everybody here was German." So
I get a kick out of that one. But anyway, if that's what Target's position is, then I hope they get coal in their stocking. And let me find a tune for you, and then we'll continue on. Let me set this next one up for you. The name of this next tune is O Come Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. If Obama is allowed to join with George Soros and exterminate Israel, he will do it. And Israel is really a hostage today, more than ever. And I think as empty as the Catholic churches are becoming, so are the synagogues. And it's time for us all to come back to the God of the chosen people and say a little prayer for them, because they're in trouble. They're in deep trouble. And if Iran gets access to nukes, which they soon will, and Al-Qaeda gets them from Pakistan, there's going to be all hell breaking loose in Israel. And we know the story of Masada and how Israel was reduced to one fortress and eventually destroyed. And they could experience a nuclear Masada. And God help us all. These are serious times, and only 1% of the United States population realizes it. All the rest are watching the Kardashians.
Bani, Bani. Israel that moans and lows.
That's nice a cappella, isn't it?
That's very beautiful.
There's one that, My Country Tis of Thee. If I find that one, that's a nice one, too. And there's a hymn that you don't hear anymore, the Star Spangled Banner. And when they do it at a baseball game, everybody's trying to rush through it to get to the game. And I saw a girl, she sang the Star Spangled Banner at a football game, and she forgot the words. I felt sorry for her. But usually when that happens, the audience sings it through and helps her along, and that's what happened. She caught it. She caught herself, and she knew all the words. She just must have had a blip on the screen. Not like Roseanne Barr. The Roseanne Barr should not be allowed. Roseanne Barr should be barred from any federal function or any baseball game. Her rendition of the Star Spangled Banner was an ultimate disgrace. An ultimate disgrace. That's like Olympic athletes wearing American rags on their head, giving the power sign during the Star Spangled Banner. That's also a disgrace. And it doesn't go unnoticed. But anyway, now having said that, I was going to give me a second to collect my thoughts. That's what my thoughts were about Herman Cain. I got to tell you something about Herman Cain. He's the only guy I know that was tried and convicted, accused, tried and convicted in the media, and he was never given a fair trial. He was never given a trial by a jury of his peers. He was completely slandered and convicted in the media without a scintilla of evidence. Now they're saying there's this woman who got 70 texts. She sent 47 of them. I'm not saying that Herman is not guilty, but I'm saying that he was tried and convicted in the media. And to the benefit of the Democamos and the Repuppies. The Repuppies wanted Herman gone as much as the Democamos. And I hope that Herman sticks around just to remind the others that he's still around. And you never can tell. There's one thing I've learned in life. There are three plans in life. There's yours, there's mine, and there's God's. And the best one is God's. So, let me close out the show, and I'll give you a hymn that doesn't get sung anymore. The hymn I was looking for is the Star Spangled Banner. But I didn't find the Star Spangled Banner, not the one I wanted to play for you. But I did find the second runner-up that was the second choice for the national anthem. And before I forget, you should stop in any church or synagogue this December, this Christmas, and just sit down and wait for the man to talk to you.
Eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps. I've built for him an altar in the evening hues and depths. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamp. His name.
Found the one I was looking for, an a cappella, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. So I'll give you an extra treat tonight because you've been good.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues away, let all that grieve partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our King, from every mouth.
I sent an email to Bernie McGuirk. Bernie McGuirk is IMUS's producer. And when IMUS got kicked off of NBC, Bernie worked real hard to get him on Fox. And Bernie was out there in the public eye defending him and appealing for leniency. And today, Bernie defended Herman Cain. And he was shot down by IMUS and the rest of the crew. One thing that amazes me, that here's a black man that's being thrown to the wolves, and very few black people are coming to offer him any kind of sustenance. So I sent a thank you to Bernie, and I said, IMUS still works for NBC. And he's going to have John Kerry on as a guest. And I said, John Kerry, a guest? This guy hasn't created a job in his whole history. The Waffle Man is IMUS's hero. There's two guys that worship John Kerry. One is Don Imus, and the other is Bill O'Reilly. And I have a different opinion of John Kerry, the Waffle Man. I was for the war, but now I'm against it. I was for my second marriage, a better bottom line, now I'm against it. And did you ever see his second wife? Herman would never send her any money. All her pocketbooks have chin straps and an oat section. I had to get that one in. The Kerry dancers could not create one job in stupid Massachusetts. And I call it stupid Massachusetts because all they send us are jerks. I can't believe that the home of Paul Revere, the home of John Adams and Sam Adams, haven't sent us anybody decent in two generations. And take a look at who they sent. Ted Kennedy, the Chappaquiddick Seal, a guy that drove women to drink and then he drove them in to drink. Give me a break. Christopher Dodds from Connecticut. He's another bad apple. He'll be doing time. He'll be doing time as soon as they catch up to Barney Frank, who's trying to skip town. He's putting in his retirement papers before they find John Corzine's missing $1.2 billion because they know he's next. Yeah. And he's retiring with $4 million that he made in government. Yeah, on top of the table. We don't know what's under the table. But anyway, the Kerry dancers could not create one job in stupid Massachusetts. He built a yacht in New Zealand and then smuggled it into Rhode Island to avoid taxes. What a role model. When he dies, he's going to be buried next to Leona Helmsley's dog. Don't even ask about how many Americans he killed in Nam. He threw his chocolate medals over the White House wall with Hanoi Jane. He had a camera crew film him burning a hooch playing Rambi. I'll take Herman over Kerry any day of the week. At least Herman won't be legislating down his nose from Stavos, Switzerland. Famous sayings in American history. Remember the Alamo, 54-40 or fight. Millions for defense, not a penny for tribute. And boy, that's one we could use today real well. And then, of course, there's that one from John Kerry, reporting for duty. And by the way, 40 days before 9/11, he voted to burn the flag. And he's also in favor of birth control with neck scissors. Yes, John the Merciful. How can IMUS have friends like that? And what does he tell the kids at the ranch when they ask why the birds never sing in John Kerry's forest? As for Herman Cain, innocent or guilty, he was only tried in the communist-controlled media. He is not wasting government money on his peccadilloes. All his women are broke. Eat your heart out, John Edwards and President Pinocchio pants. And is helping hookers an act of charity? If so, he's a sinner. Where's my pet rock? Herman is breaking it to us gently. He's like the joke, a guy calls home, his brother answers the phone. The caller asks, how is my cat? And his brother says, the cat is dead. And the caller screams, is that any way to break bad news? You should have said the cat is up on the roof. The cat fell. The cat's hurt. The cat passed away. That's the way you break bad news. Let me speak to Mom. Brother says, Mom's up on the roof. Let Herman stay in the race. He may be the cleanest of the bunch. Wait till the demo camos take to the field. Sheep will be testifying, and maybe a warm roast beef. Let me give you another tune. We're almost out of time. Got 3 minutes and 29 seconds left. Let's see what we can find. Well, here's 220. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Politician song. Peggy Lee, and we'll say goodnight to the crowd. Look forward to a good Christmas. Take care.